This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Visitation Order holds hidden treasures and resources for serious seekers of a deeply interior spiritual life. Visit www.visitationspirit.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It's kind of interesting that today's gospel is about the transfiguration, particularly since we will read this gospel a second time later in the year on the feast of the transfiguration. So you figure, well, why is the transfiguration here, right here, in the second Sunday of Lent? Well, it actually makes sense. Because the transfiguration of Jesus took place precisely so that we, the apostles first, and then of course we, would know who he is and be strengthened by that knowledge and then be encouraged and convinced to respond properly. So what was the transfiguration? That was the moment, I'm trying to imagine this, and Jesus took his three apostles to the mountain, and at some point while they're on this mountain, Jesus somehow separates himself from them and begins to glow. There's no other way to describe it. He begins to glow, and he gets brighter and brighter and brighter until it's so bright that it's like looking at the sun. That's why it's called dazzling white in other translations. And then in the midst of this, Jesus glowing, there appears Moses and Elijah, two of the greatest Old Testament prophets, and they're talking to him in this vision, talking to him, conversing with him. These apostles, you can imagine their surprise. They had never seen anything like this. There's nothing in their stories, there's nothing in their minds, there's nothing in their hearts that would ever be like this. This is something that never happened to anyone. And there is Jesus. And they know it by his power that somehow or other Moses and Elijah are there talking and they can't even look at it because it's so bright. And in that moment, for the first time, Peter and James and John finally understood that this Jesus with whom they had been hanging for 3 years was way more than they had possibly thought. Now, they might not have concluded that this was the second person of the Blessed Trinity, even when the dove appears and the voice is, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I'm sure they did not conclude, as I said, that this is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, but they surely knew that whatever they had thought of Jesus, all bets were now off. This was something as close to the next world breaking in on this world as they could have ever experienced. No wonder they wanted to stay, and they wanted to stay forever. It was for them, I'm sure, like one of those near-death experiences that people talk about, where someone's soul has reportedly left their body momentarily, and it is also unspeakably beautiful and good and holy in this path to heaven, that those people do not really want to come back. So Jesus is thus transfigured before their very eyes, and that transfigure means the figure of his humanity goes across into the figure, the appearance of his divinity. Now, Jesus did not do this for his own sake. He did it for the sake of his people, the ones whom he loved. Jesus intended to show his apostles who he really was, to reveal to them that he was not just some magnetic and charismatic character, that he was not just some famous itinerant preacher. He was not just some mysterious person who had somehow caught everyone else up in his mystery. In this glowing, in this dazzling light, bright as the sun, where Jesus is now talking to two figures who died 1,000 years before, and the apostles knew what was going on here, Jesus intended to show them that he was somehow intimately connected to God, to the divine. He was indeed the promised of the ages. He was the God of Moses, the God of Elijah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He was God. And we know that whatever Jesus had tried to teach the apostles those first 3 years, they only understood partially. They were never actually able to put it all together until the resurrection, the ascension, and then Pentecost. But the transfiguration was the way that our blessed Lord would set the apostles conclusively on the path to eventually understanding. As I said, the apostles were stunned, but they were also strengthened. It's the transfiguration that would keep them on board once they saw the horror and the degradation of the cross. Imagine this hero of theirs for the previous 3 years, the one in whom they had placed their hopes for the redemption of Israel, the one whom they dreamt was the Messiah, the one who was going to save them and Israel and usher in a new kingdom, is shortly, unbeknownst to them, but he's shortly about to be arrested, abused, tortured, whipped, mocked, degraded, bloodied, spit upon by pagans, and then pierced in his hands and his feet, and then swung up on a cross. If you want to know how horrible this was going to be for them, just imagine that instead of seeing Jesus on a cross on this wall, all you saw was a man strapped in an electric chair with a cap on his head and his hands strapped to the sides of the chair. That's what it was for them. That's how awful this was. Why do you think they all ran away after his arrest? They were horrified. And they would not have come back. They would have been totally disillusioned had not Jesus given them this transfiguration as to who he really was. But they came back because they knew, because of the transfiguration, there was something going on here they needed to understand more deeply. And they were rewarded for their patience, because Sunday after his execution, glory be to God, he rose from the dead, and then 40 days later he ascended into heaven, and then 10 days later he sent the Holy Spirit upon their heads to tell everyone. The glory of the transfiguration sets the stage for the rest of the story. Now we become the apostles, because the transfiguration is our preparation too. Because we need to know who this Jesus really is. And once we know who he is, then we know how we must respond accordingly. By the way we live our lives, by the way we believe, and by the way we practice that belief. If Jesus is really God, and there really is a heaven to which we aspire, and there really is a hell that we must avoid, and if we commit sin, and that puts us in real danger of this real hell, and puts heaven and eternal life in jeopardy, then what is our response going to be? In other words, if all of this is really true, then there is no way that we should or could ignore it, or pretend that it really has nothing to do with our lives. I think of the time that Jesus said to Martha and Mary, he said to them, Martha and Mary, do you know that I'm the resurrection and the life? That he who believes in me, even though he should die, will live forever. And then he says to them, as point blank as possible, do you believe this? Be like me saying to you, do you believe all this stuff? Do you believe all this stuff? Because if we do believe, then maybe there is some changing in our lives that needs to be done, and Lent is the time to do it, which is why the Transfiguration is put here in the beginning of Lent, only the second Sunday, because maybe there are habits of sin that need to be rooted out of our lives, radically, completely. If we believe that Jesus is God and that he will bring us eternal life, do we exemplify our belief by the things we do and the things we say? Or are there elements in our lives that we allow to put that salvation in danger? Is there some evil out there that we let in? Just for a minute. Oh, we'll get back to the holiness later. Maybe it's television. Maybe it's the internet. So full of temptations and evil. Maybe it's that what threatens us and brings us down. Not every day, just a couple of days a week. Oh, sure, I believe in Jesus, but not so much that I can't look at this evil for a moment. We need to remember the transfiguration. Maybe it's the way we give into our sharp tongue, and we say things to people all the time that we wish we could take back. It's always too late. If we really believed that Jesus was God, if we really understood the implications of the transfiguration, then maybe we would be making much more of an effort to be kind and sweet and generous, particularly when it is most difficult and particularly with difficult people in our lives. If we really knew who this Jesus was and what he promised, and if we really believed it, would we ever miss Mass? Would we ever forget to pray? Would we ever take that fateful drink or that fatal dose? Not if we really believed. Not if we had seen his transfiguration and concluded something about the way we must live our lives from what we saw. And that is why this sacrament of confession is so important for Lent, for our lives. Because if we believe that Jesus was transfigured and we know that therefore he is God, then we conclude from this that we must respond appropriately and change our lives. And confession is the sacrament of change, the sacrament of transfiguration. The transfiguration of Jesus transfigures not just Jesus but all of us. We must all be similarly transfigured. So the first step to that is simple. Get to confession. Stop living in the state of sin. Stop accepting the dross and the garbage and the evil within our souls and homes. Get it out. Get it forgiven. Give it to God. We have all said it, and it's nonetheless wrong. I ought to get to confession one of these days. Well, one of those days is today, right now, or this week, or this coming Saturday, or certainly this Lent. Do not waste another minute. With the arrival of Father Elvio, we now have three priests and the opportunities for forgiveness, for confession, for new beginnings, for transfigurations are multiplied now by three here at St. Odilo. But this is why the transfiguration is important to us and why we have it, the gospel in the second week of Lent. Because once we see Jesus in all his glory, we will know that that glory can be ours as well. And we will know how to respond in our lives, transfigured in our souls, as he was transfigured for the apostles. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.